Just for the tape. The tape and tapes.
I'll call the meeting back to recess, or from recess, back in. Welcome, Chief Finney. We've kind of done a little bit of an intro for all the other candidates. We have a...
Do you need to get that?
I thought I had it turned off. I'm so sorry.
How we're doing this is there's a 15-minute time, and there's a shot clock right in front of you. And if you want to spend the first, you know, couple minutes introducing yourself, why you want the position, we've all, and correct us if we're wrong, but we know you live in the ward, and we know you're not planning, if you get the interim position, you're not planning on running in the general election for the open seat. And then we'll kind of jump in and ask questions as we see fit, and I'll try and stop at around a minute so you can do some closing, sure, closing statement or something like that. But we don't stop the time for questions, but 15 minutes, and the floor is yours.
Very good. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity to visit with you, to reacquaint myself with people I know and introduce myself to people that haven't quite had a chance to work with me. So why do I want this position? I need to understand, I'm a native-born St. Paulite. Born and raised here, lived, I guess, all of my life, except for the years I went to college in Mankato, here in St. Paul. Never lived outside the city limits. I live in different wards of the city, and for the last 27 years, I've lived in Ward 7, and I absolutely love it. Now, why do I want to do this? All of my jobs in my whole life have been public service or service-oriented, and mostly service to St. Paul. My last year in college, I worked for the school board delivering food to different cafeterias out of the old Johnson High School at 740 York. Working over there and doing that, and enjoyed that, getting in contact with St. Paul. When I did graduate, I worked for Catholic Charities for a minute as a community worker and decided I want to be a police officer. I had been a police officer in Mankato. I want to serve my own community, so I joined the St. Paul Police. What recently has come to mind is that I've been retired for about 10 and a half years, and after serving for the majority of my life as I have, where do I make a contribution again? What's available? What do I do? And yes, Finney, I'm concerned about some of the things that are going on in the city. I'm concerned about some of the issues concerning youth. I'm concerned about some of the things that are going on with public safety, police, some of the issues that are happening nationwide that surely come to roost here in St. Paul, West Coast, East Coast, then the Midwest. So are we prepared for that, and what can people who care about St. Paul do to prepare themselves for that? So I thought about that, and around Christmas time, I thought maybe I'll run for Ward 7. I just heard that Councilmember Lanchey was not going to run, and so I thought about that, and I recognized some of the candidates who are running. I said, well, these are some good people that are running, and I'll probably sit this one out. The opportunity came about for the interim council chamber. I said, by golly, that's the one I'm going to go for. I'm going to do this. I want to be involved with some of the things I think are very important in St. Paul. So what's important? There's a number of things going on in public safety, and I had 34 years in public safety with St. Paul that concerned me. But mainly I'm concerned about how our public in St. Paul views their public servants in law enforcement. I think we should begin to make investments in public goodwill again from that end of it. What can we do as city council members? I think we can encourage some of those things to occur. I'm concerned with youth and what's happening on the Skyway. I was a Skyway police officer back in 1977. The second officer to walk the Skyway. I know some of the issues that happened down that time. And it seems like some of those things are flaring up again. Concerned about that. I'm concerned about the fact that when I became police chief in 1992, the population of people of color in the city of St. Paul is somewhere around 15%. Much higher now. People of color, and people of color coming from different parts of the world. That's wonderful for St. Paul, but it does bring challenges that we can address. Some of the challenges are some of these people, young people, are having children. Are there safe places with adult supervision for children to interact and be able to grow up in a safe environment? That's responsible. That's part of the responsibility of the police, but it's also part of the responsibility for our parks, our schools, et cetera. So those things concern me. And there's solutions to how we address that. I live down in the southern part of Ward 7, and right up the street from me is Highwood Hills Elementary School. Adjacent to that is a large community of Somali people, concerned about their children and where they're going to play in the parks. I've talked to some of our district councils and said, how can we address that? Well, soccer is a big deal. There's a wonderful set of fields behind Highwood Hills that can be addressed and turned into soccer fields. A lot of people I talk with are concerned about children walking across Lower Afton Road. Lower Afton Road is very busy, very dangerous. You don't want your preteens walking across there. So is there something south of that border that we can get involved with? I think there is.
Mr. Finney, to cut it, I know Councilmember Thune.
Actually, he answered. I was going to ask, give us a couple citywide issues and a couple just specific to Ward 7 issues.
Yes.
Anything you want to add?
I know that's a recent Ward 7 issue. Citywide issue is how we perceive our communities with increasing communities of color being involved. Are we addressing the issues that they think are important too? And if there isn't, shouldn't we be talking about that? Shouldn't we be talking about what kind of things, what kind of service level would you like to see out of your city services? I think there's room for conversation. I regard that as little investments in your community that pay big dividends, not if, but when problems occur. There's never going to be an issue of if there's going to be a problem between the police department and some youth or some issue that somebody doesn't like. But when that occurs, have we maintained the open lines of communication? So instead of yelling at each other on a press conference, we can sit down and talk to each other and solve it and work out solutions. I know that can be done because I did that. I think I'd be a decent representative for St. Paul. I said because it's a public service position. I've served in public service, civil service, elected service, military service for Minnesota, for St. Paul. My elected service was on the city school board. I was elected in 1989 and served most of my term, but the last year I was appointed chief of police, and I felt that the chief position required an individual to make a total commitment to that. So I stepped down with a year left of my term. I returned to the school board after I retired in 2004 for a year in 2005 and served as an interim there. Had my eyes reopened to the fact that, yes, we have new challenges in our schools. Our schools are about, 60, 65% kids of color? Not bad, but different. Causes new kinds of challenges for old city institutions. Payne Avenue, Arcade. Once, if you will, very, very St. Paulite, white, now have new challenges with large communities of color who English isn't necessarily their first language. This is wonderful. These are welcoming situations. But for some people, they cause struggle and strife, and we as city officials can work through that if we maintain our communication and help people understand that this is St. Paul now. And this is a St. Paul we can all work with if we decide we really want to work with each other.
Councilmember Stark?
Yeah. For 20 plus years, we've been a part-time council, technically.
Yes.
So I was just curious what your availability was in terms of time commitment for the potential position.
Well, that's the good news. I don't have a job. I'm retired, and I have plenty of time, and I still have plenty of energy to want to work for my town. St. Paul's my city. Never want to live anywhere else. I've enjoyed the institutions. I'm a product of St. Paul Public Schools. I'm a product of St. Paul institutions. This is home. Now I want to make home as good as it can be. I at least want to maintain the high standards we have, but I think we can improve on that. I think I can add to that. I realize this is an interim position, and I certainly am not going to stand election come the fall. But between now and then, I think I can at least maintain the high level of standards that Councilman Landry did. I know the people that she knew, not as many in that area, but I know the people that she knew, and I certainly know St. Paul. I know St. Paul's workforce. People that work for St. Paul work for decades. But more than that, they work for generations. People that are working for the city now had family members who worked for the city three generations ago. And with the new people that are new arrivals to this country, we're establishing that again. The St. Paul Police Department just graduated an academy of 47 people, of which 25% were people of color. The St. Paul Fire Department's getting ready to put on an academy, I think in April, and they're trying to attract, you know, diversity. This is the way we want the city to go. And I think giving encouragement to those city directors where they need it, and if possible, helping them with the budgets that make that possible is something the city council can do. Now, I'm concerned about some of the other challenges. We got some messed up streets here.
Why are you pointing at me?
We got some streets with huge holes in them.
Personal, Dave.
And as a person that rides motorcycles, I seem to run every
I get
over.
It now.
So
the old Harley Davidson gambit.
Yes. I think we can address that. We have to focus, find the funds. I think we're going to have a real decent public works director now also who can help with that, certainly understands the concerns of citizens in our town, the voters, the people that reside here that say, hey, do a better job on the streets. We've been blessed by not having so much snow this year, so streets have been pretty good that way. But snow plowing, smooth streets, it's a big deal. Something I'm very concerned about.
Councilmember Redmond has a question.
I'm just wondering if you could just talk a minute or two about thoughts on the Gateway Corridor and Red Rock Corridor.
Yes. In terms of detail?
Yeah, just they're two important corridors that touch the area we'd be representing.
Yes,
and
yes.
Just...
Well, public transportation's a bit of a big... I was born to the time when we had trolleys. I rode on those trolleys until they got rid of them in the mid-50s, and I was still a kid, but I thought that was unique about St. Paul. I'm supportive of that type of transportation. I'm supportive of a number of those things that bring economic development to St. Paul. And we simply have to do it. We have to have other sources of revenue streams that should be spread rather than just on the backs of our homeowners. So those are challenges, and they affect the East Side and Ward 7. I'm certainly aware of that.
Councilmember Bostrom?
You know, you've worked all over the city, so obviously, you know, there's that Ward 7 piece of it. There's also the citywide piece of which the rest of us around here are concerned because we don't live in the 7th Ward. So tell us a little bit about your citywide view so we understand that you know a little bit more than just about the East Side and about the police department.
I was given the honor of being the city's police chief. So I reached into all the different communities of the city and served them there. I was honored to serve as police chief for 12 years, two terms. Prior to that, I was a St. Paul Police Patrol Officer from the ranks of patrol officer all the way up to chief of police, officer, sergeant, lieutenant, captain. Didn't get deputy chief, but I got chief of police. So I worked in every area of the city at some point during that 34-year career, so I got a chance to see that. I've lived in St. Paul, and I've lived in Ward 1, Ward 3, Ward 4, and Ward 7, Ward 5. So I've lived in all those areas. Did I say Ward 2? I've lived in Ward 2, too. I had a chance to visit along the years and talk to individuals who reside in those areas. You know, one thing you know about St. Paul people that are natives always tell you, when you ask them where they're from, they tell you their neighborhood. You know, and one of the things that I learned when I first got to Ward 7 and started residing there, some people over on that side of the town, the East Side, don't necessarily regard people in Ward 7 as Eastsiders. But, you know, you find those things out. And if you're a Johnson person or if you're a Harding person. So I have that exposure. I have friends and community members, advisors, if you will, mentors from all over St. Paul.
And I have one last question before.
Yes, sir.
And you have about a minute left before you close up. How do you kind of see your role since you're being elected by six people who don't live in Ward 7? Do you keep the seat warm? Do you have an agenda? Or how do you represent the ward?
I do more than keep the seat warm. I just can't just keep the seat warm. Do I think I'm going to set the world on fire and change the procedures that Kathy has established? No. I'm going to sit. I'm going to maintain at least the level of expectation in Ward 7 that she presented. But I will be attentive to new issues, youth, public safety, our streets, you know, and the general well-being and safety of our town.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. We'll be in touch with you soon.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll see if the final candidate.
Mary, yeah.
Has someone like had a peek in the door?
I was.
Was it? I found this to be obnoxious.
All the emails? I didn't get them. Let me see.
Some form.
Yeah, no, I just, like, that's personally not effective for me. What is the deal with the way the lights? It's like, I feel like I'm in a discotheque. Just clouds?
It's smokestack from
the energy. Oh, the smokestack. I was like, the clouds are sure moving fast.
That's what it is. A waft of wind blowing.
Miss Petrie?
Yes, Petrie.
Hello, Petrie.
Suddenly we're in the dark.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the council. I know Councilmember Thune is here. He must have just stepped out for a moment. As you get yourself situated, kind of just procedural how we're doing this is you have 15 minutes total. How we've done it is, you know, kind of if you want to introduce yourself and tell us why you want the position, unless it's different, we accept the fact that you live in Ward 7, and if appointed, you will not be seeking the general election seat. We will be cutting in with questions as they come up, and that goes against your time as well, and I'll try and as close to a minute as possible. Put an end to it so you can make some closing remarks.
Okay.
And we have all your information. So with that being said, and Councilmember Thune is walking in now, 15 minutes, and there's a time clock right there.
Okay.
That can keep you on point. So
all right.
The floor is yours. Welcome.
Okay. Thank you. First, thank you. I have to joke. I was just hearing about the Watergate hearings on NPR on my way over, and then I faced this. I'm like, oh, Watergate. but no. So yes, questions 3 and 4, we can dispatch those immediately. My name's Mary Petrie, and I would like to respond, I guess, to the first question then is, why do you want this position, and why would you be a good representative for Ward 7? And so my first immediate response to why I want the position is that it's a really kind of a once-in-a-lifetime unique opportunity to serve. You know, no, I have no political trajectory here. It just, I could step in, do this amazing thing, and I would love to do it. The second thing that came up for me is that it's the perfect time for me. I'm on sabbatical from my job at Inver Hills Community College, and I'm also able to flip my fall teaching mostly to the spring, so I would have the time to devote to this. And my oldest son just went to college. I have 3 children. I'm married, 16 and a 11-year-old at home. So it's the perfect time. And I might never have time like this again. And then the third thing is, and I have read some of your agendas, so I know I could be wrong, I just think it would be fun. I think it would be a great adventure, super fun to dive into something I've never really done, meet a whole bunch of new people, learn a lot. It just sounds really great. So those are the 3 reasons. But when I kind of mapped that out, I thought that the first one seemed a little vacant, like this is a desire to serve my community. And what does that really mean? You know, I started thinking about that because, and then I realized that if you look at my resume, there's a civic engagement section, which I don't think is standard. But much of my adult life has been about serving and creating communities and making connections. And I know, and I've always known, but I had to articulate it here again, that this is in a direct response to a childhood spent exactly the opposite. Because I grew up, like, if the Minnesota Compass data is right, like 29% of people in Dayton-Splough, 19% in District 1, in poverty. We were on welfare, food stamps, low-income housing. My mother eventually went back to college and got a job, but with three kids, and it's the same, and my dad was in and out of jail, so he was like a problem. And even when she got a teaching job, she worked at a liquor store at night, a canning factory in the summer. And when you're poor, you're busy. You don't have time. First of all, there's no one there to drive you to Brownies or Little League or to the neighborhood events. Your mom is too busy working to go. So I grew up without a community and a sense of myself kind of on my own. And the good thing about that is that much of my life has been living the opposite and hoping other people don't experience that. And that sounds a little hokey, but when I dug a little deeper, that really is why I do these things. So, for example, when I had my first child, I was living on the West Side, and I didn't just have a baby and meet neighbors. I started the West Side Babysitting Cooperative that grew to 30 families, and no money. We used coupons to have childcare. So, and those babies are now in college, freshmen in college, which is kind of cool. So that's the why. And I think that that the why also is what would make me a good representative for Ward 7. So if someone comes to me and says, my car got towed, I don't have the money, you know, I don't understand the rules for towing, or this zoning law is going to affect my small business, or whatever it is, economic inequities, I lived, so I understand them. I also think that another thing that I understand are the racial and gender inequities that also structure some of Ward 7. As a women and gender studies scholar, I've spent most of my career actually not just studying issues of racial and gender and economic injustice, but talking about them with people from every background you can possibly imagine, from every country, every culture, every religion, saying, here are our differences, look at this mess, how do we get ourselves out of it? And boy, that has been an amazing 20 years of that conversation. So I feel like I would be uniquely equipped to step into communities where the majority of people are people of color and work through some of these issues and talk. So that's another reason I think I would be a good, now that I know you can ask questions, I'm racing, so. that's so much to say. I think another reason I would be a good representative is that I would really need to and be happy to build on work that's already been done. So I took a look at the District Council 4's work plan for 2014 and all of those wonderful initiatives and programs, you know, to jump on planning for the new Enterprise Center, to work with the Greater East Side Business Association. I mean, I would jump in and really follow the lead of the people who are already leading and doing the work and support their needs and bring them forward. I also think that my time as the director of Farm in the City, with that focus on food security and green space, makes me a good fit for Dayton-Splough and District 1 at this particular time. And issues like economic injustices and food security, so there's a new Mississippi market coming, which is terrific. I'm a member. I shop there all the time at the other locations. But, you know, how is that store going to work with neighbors when, what was it, like a bag of cereal is $8.99 at Mississippi Market. You know, so, I mean, so some things need to be worked out. Food security isn't solved by a Mississippi Market, at least not in Dayton-Splough. So I don't think you will find a more committed advocate for Ward 7 on the Gateway Corridor Commission than me, partly because I live four blocks away from Old Hudson Road. So just like people who lived right down the street from the light rail in the Central Corridor in Frogtown stood up and said, wait a minute, how can this thing blow past me? What about my quality of life? What about my economic needs? And made changes to that plan. I will be there. I'm going to be at the meeting on Wednesday night regardless, because that's so important to me. So,
one question I have for you, you know, being you'd be elected or you'd be appointed by six non-residents of Ward 7, which doesn't necessarily give you a citizen mandate for the position. How do you see your role? Is it keeping the seat warm, or do you have an agenda when you get elected, or how do you represent the ward best?
You know, that's actually two reasons down why to pick me, I think, is why, about keeping the seat warm or an agenda. I feel very strongly that I would be a steward, not a warmth, but a steward of the vision and values of Kathy Lantry. For 17 years, I voted for her, ever since I've lived there now for 12 years. For 17 years, Eastsiders in Ward 7 have said yes to what Kathy stands for. Fiscal responsibility, quality housing, responsiveness. Kathy Lantry, as a council member, you email Ellen, you make a phone call, and you have a response within hours, 100% of the time. That's the kind of city council member I would be. And I would value and serve as a steward for her core vision until someone else was elected, with a little flair of my own here and there, you know. So
can you just expand on that? So can you think of an example or two of something that you would like to take a leadership on in the time that you would have the seat?
I really would like to take a leadership role in what's the planning that's happening with the Gateway Corridor and green space, especially given food security issues. I mean, oh my God, but the food security piece is really important in Ward 7. And I think that I could make a big difference in that, partly because there's been an organic groundswell already happening with Tracy Sides and something, you know, in the new food initiatives. To have a city council person who also has that energy and knowledge and, you know, resources, I think could, again, bring forward something the community has already said they value, but I have that little spark to add to that.
Councilmember Stark?
Yeah, we've been officially anyway a part-time council for 20 plus years. For the most part, it's not a part-time job, but I just wanted to ask what your availability was in terms of time commitment for that period of time, March through December.
And I think for a temporary person, the situation is a little different because we can't say we need to stop, you know, for a four-year term. I've already talked to my college. They enthusiastically approve of me doing this. And so they would be willing. We have to teach a certain number of credits in a year, but you can bump most of them to the spring semester. So I could teach a very part-time light load in the fall, and I'm not teaching at all right now. I'm working on a book, and I'm well ahead on my sabbatical plan. So yes, the answer is yes, I have the time. I will be busy, you know, and maybe a little insanely busy, but one of the reasons why I want this position is that now is a great time for me because I do have the time, and it won't happen. It wouldn't happen next year. So,
Councilmember Tell?
You describe a project or time that you work with predominantly people of color in Ward 7. What was the outcome?
Can I describe it? Worked predominantly with people of color in Ward 7? I really can't. Not in Ward 7. With Farm in the City, I worked a lot with the Somali community, only to do community gardens around the central towers, but not in Ward 7. It's been all mix of races.
Councilmember Bostrom?
We, as city council members, although we just represent not necessarily our own ward, but the entire city of St. Paul. So we vote on a lot of issues that affect the entire city. What have your experiences been citywide? I know you touched on a few food security and some transportation issues, but it's a big city. So what other issues around town have you been involved in?
Well, you know, I was on the Capital Improvement Budgetary Committee, and that was a big citywide eye-opener, and also understanding how federal funds and state funds and how these layers of government operated together. But I'm familiar, very familiar, with Sustainable St. Paul, partly through my work with Elizabeth Dickinson and the Green Party, Invest St. Paul, the Lower Town Ballpark. I'm kind of on pins and needles about because I drive through there every day and I go to Clouds in the Water Zen Center, so I'm well aware of that. The many bridge construction projects we have going on right now, Invest St. Paul. I guess I feel like what's good for the city of St. Paul is good for Ward 7. And I would be a valuable, prepared, and informed team player on all of those projects.
Well, you have a couple minutes left. Yeah, actually, this is about a minute ahead because we had a time thing. So
okay.
If you want to end by a minute, but you have 3 minutes left if you want to add anything else. I don't know if there's any other questions. You can end early, too. It's an option.
Oh, well, and I think we interrupted you. Yeah. You're
no, that's okay. That's no, whatever. You guys set the terms. I'm showing up here. So I do want to say to Councilmember Tao that I have worked my entire career, though, at Indra Hills Community College and with people of color, with students of color, with self-identified transgender Somali students, with Hmong students, with African-American, Nigerian. I have had the privilege to build my life around people who were not like me and study and work on those connections and differences. So, but not one particular project in Ward 7, true. So yes, I guess what did you want? I can talk about this. I want to say I'm a card-carrying member of Value Thrift and Sunray. As a way of saying, I just love Ward 7. I mean, I joke sometimes I don't ever need to go across the river anymore. I mean, I'm just over there at Battle Creek Dog Park, at OBS, at Value Thrift. I really have found a home in this community, and I enjoy the people, and I take pleasure in it. And I think that energy and real appreciation for the ward could only be good. So a friend of mine is a producer for NPR, and she's constantly texting me, and she says I'm a connector. Do you know what that is? The tipping point. So there are three types of people that make things happen, and one person can say, oh, you know, you need to know so and so. You need to visit this website or see that resource. I'm good at that. And I would do that for the people of Ward 7 and people of St. Paul. So I'm a good connector. I'm extremely nervous, so you wouldn't know this now, but I'm an exceptional communicator. I have really, really good listening skills. I ask questions. I am quite good at communicating through writing. And I think that's a really undervalued skill. So if something difficult has to be conveyed, some nuance, and you need it in prose, I'm your person to do it. So I have that skill also. I am a quick learner with extraordinary organizational skills that allows me to juggle a lot. So I can do a lot in a little bit of time. I have a lot of energy. And another skill that I bring is it is a skill. I'm able to navigate complex systems. As a graduate student, someone who, you know, went to graduate school and wrote a dissertation, you have to kind of create your own system, your own kind of theory. But after working at the University of Minnesota in administration, I was an admin fellow to the assistant provost, I had to understand the complexity of that system with its various colleges and governing boards, accreditation, etc. And this isn't just the city of St. Paul. This is a complicated municipality. We're looking at the library, the water services, the Port Authority. I can't remember how many departments there are, like 24, 3,000 employees. Some of this is a little old, I think, because I was looking at Kathy Landry's website. It's a big, complicated system. And if you quizzed me in 24 hours, I would fail, but you would be really surprised what I could do in a week.
Well, your time is up. Thank you very much for coming before us, and we'll be in touch with you once the decision is made. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
And that we have one more person, and that will be at 4:30 following our council meeting. So we're in recess.
It's